I am learning that some people come to church just to hold grandbabies. And, you know, the Dombecks have been out for quite a while, Carol and Scott. Of course, they've been dealing with sickness and all of that. But I see Carol back there just holding that baby. And I said, she don't come to church to hear preaching or singing or none of that. She came to hold the baby. So, you know, it's pretty wonderful when you can have that, though, isn't it? Pretty wonderful that you can have that. And so want to make you aware of a couple things tonight, and then we'll pray over some needs. But before we do, I don't know if you read David Cloud's weekly Friday notes, but interesting article this week. Majority of Americans, 18 to 24, believe Israel should be ended and given to Hamas. Majority of Americans, 18 to 24, now believe that. That is shocking to me. And just the anti-Israel move. And so he writes good articles. One is Rome moving toward full acceptance of homosexuality, just keeping you aware of the pronoun police in the U.S. government, what's going on there. So you can go online, wayoflife.org, and get those Friday notes, but they're well worth your time, as Brother Cloud does a lot of good research, and we thank him for that. Want to mention some prayer requests, and then I'll take some testimonies, and then we'll open in prayer this evening. We do want to continue to pray for Wayne and Delcy Runkle. Wayne and Delcy have been very sick, weak, and asking the Lord to restore strength to them. We also want to remember Rose Schweitzer, who broke both of those wrists, and just the struggle of that. I believe Esther's doing some care, maybe. Okay, so pray for Esther. Esther's doing much of the caregiving for her grandmother, and so that's a prayer point. Richard Miller, I think I had mentioned this before, but Richard broke his back in three places and is just in a lot of pain coming back from Fiji, and so please remember him. And then Elizabeth was able to come home today. We do praise the Lord for that. They saw enough progress that they felt she could return home, but she's supposed to fly out to school tomorrow. I don't know if that's happening. And then she's supposed to be on antibiotics for the next 2 weeks. And so just remember Elizabeth. Pray that she doesn't fall behind in her school, that she can get going, and that the Lord will continue to take that infection out of her body. Of course, there are some other folks that are sick under the weather, and we need to continue to remember many of the body. That it just seems like this cloud hovers about a month to 6 weeks when it hits, doesn't it? And it just hits different people and so on. So pray that the Lord will bring us through that. Also remember Emily Davis. To my knowledge, she is also still dealing with pretty heavy-duty sickness, and we want to remember her as well. So I'll pray over these people when we go to prayer in just a moment. But I wonder if somebody has a good word of testimony to start the new year here before we go to prayer. Anybody with a good word of testimony tonight? Angie? Amen. Amen. That's encouraging to hear tonight. Amen. Somebody else? Anybody else with testimony, Brother Scott? Amen. Good to have you back in your place. Good to have you back in your place tonight. Anybody else? All right. Let's stand together then. Brother Jim, go ahead. Amen. 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 Also good to have the Braddocks back. Some travel, some sickness, but good to have them back in service again tonight as well. Let's bow in prayer as we begin the service. Lord Jesus, we want to take time in this service to just direct our attention on you and our worship and praise and thanksgiving and adoration. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice on our behalf. Lord, we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus tonight. And Lord, where we would be without the cross, without the work on the cross. Lord, we thank you for all that you accomplished on the cross and rising again from the dead. We pray for our own tonight, Lord. We pray for Wayne and Delcy. And Lord, I just ask that you would touch their bodies and restore them to good health, Lord, and strength, Lord, be with them and keep their hearts encouraged, Lord, tonight. I pray over them, Lord. I pray over Rose and Esther and, Lord, the things that are happening over with Rose, Lord, and the broken wrist and, Lord, the care that she needs. And, Lord, we pray for healing. We pray, Lord, that the bones would heal properly and, Lord, that you would give her patience in this trial, Lord, and that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would just give her, Lord, great perspectives, Lord, comforting perspectives in this trial, Lord. We lift up before you Brother Richard Miller, our missionary, and Lord, the broken back that he's dealing with, Lord, we pray for him and ask, Lord, that you might touch his body, Lord, encourage his heart, Lord. I know he's a go-getter, and Lord, to be sitting is probably somewhat frustrating to him. So God, I pray that you come alongside of him and work in his heart, Lord, through this and make the scriptures rich to him, Lord, in these days. I pray for him, Lord. I think maybe Grace is also sick. I think of Todd Keith down in Mexico. I think of the college students as they pick back up a new semester and maybe some traveling. But, Lord, we pray for these. And, Lord, we thank you for bringing some back. Thank you for your healing touch in our body. And, Lord, we thank you that some were able to come back. Thank you for the morning service. And, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would be glorified in this special service that ends with the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name. Amen. Take your songbooks. Let's sing together tonight. God bless you.
Hymn number one, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. We'll sing all four stanzas. Hymn number one.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device or grief. My trust, the ever-living one, his wound for me shall plead.
Remain standing for prayer. JB, would you pray over offering, please?
Lord, again, we thank you that we can come together in the sound of the Lord. We thank you for the freedom we have from the sound. We thank you for the help we have. And we remember those who can't be here because of health reasons tonight. We thank you for bringing some travelers home, and we pray for those who are still traveling, Lord, that you'll get them safely to their destinations. And
Lord, we thank you for the visits we have from the college students. We pray for them as they go back to school. Lord, that you'll give them the strength they need. Now, Lord, we ask your blessing on this offering. We ask for your word to penetrate our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Stand with me, please. Turn to hymn number 216. Hymn number 216, When We See Christ, we'll sing all three stanzas of hymn number 216. Remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. In your Bibles now, Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25. I'm going to start reading in verse 8. Leviticus chapter 25, starting in verse 8. The Bible says, And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat in the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we do thank you. Again, we thank you, Lord, for your day. Lord, we can worship you on any day, but Lord, you've set aside this day, the first day of the week, that we gather in your name and worship you together. Lord, we lift your name on high. We have Sunday school, learn about you. Lord, we come together for the preaching of your word. And Lord, that's what we've done here tonight, is to come together for the preaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn something, and not just learn something, Lord, but Lord, to put it to work in our life, to, Lord, be doers of the word. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be attentive for what you have for each and every one of us tonight. God, I pray you'd be with our preacher now as he brings to us this message that you gave to him to bring to us. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
Going into the book of Leviticus, you're like, oh, one of those books. Raise your hand, all right? Similar to me. But there's every word of God is pure. Every word of God is meant for us to be able to read, to be able to understand. And so we're dealing with Leviticus chapter 25 tonight in preparation for the Lord's table. And we're dealing with the year of Jubilee. In fact, in verse number 13, it says, "In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession." Verse number 15, "According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor," and so on. To give you a little bit of background to help us understand tonight this text of Scripture, the year of Jubilee followed 7 weeks of years, or seven sevens. We know that that is referring then to the 50th year in Israel coming out of Egypt, and from there on out, that they would celebrate this year of Jubilee, this 50th year, or after 49 years, seven sevens, this 50th year would deal largely with land. It would deal with property and property rights. The Jubilee year, occurring after every seventh Sabbath year, was an economic, cultural, environmental, and community reset. That's what it was. It was a time when the land and the people would rest, and all those who were in slavery were set free to return to their communities. If you would look up the word Jubilee in the Scriptures, you would find it simply means a ram horn or a trumpet made from the shape of a ram horn. During this year, economic debts would be forgiven. Land would be restored to families who had to sell it in order to repay debt. That land would be restored to them in this 50th year, and slaves sold to repay debt were to be liberated. By the way, God set this up, and this is the way God set up the Jewish culture. And so it was not, though, simply a release from labor, not just rest, but it was also a year that was to belong to the Lord. It was to be holy unto the Lord. Or in other words, God kind of simplified life for everybody for a year, the 50th year, so that everybody would have more time for the Lord. We think that maybe its first observance seemed to have occurred after Joshua's entrance into Canaan, though we're not sure about that. Certainly, Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 31 says, shows us that the people appeared to be agreeing to keeping the year of Jubilee as part of their commitment to observe the law, but this statement of their promise to keep it did not necessarily guarantee that they did, for we know they had trouble even keeping the Sabbath day, let alone a whole year of Jubilee. Say, preacher, okay, I got a little bit of understanding. Now, help me to understand this for me. How does it affect me? Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, the first principle of Jubilee is God's lordship over the whole earth. It is a good truth to bring us back to quite often, that God lords over the whole earth. Just as the Sabbath expressed His right to order life, giving it the shape of 6 days' work and 1 day rest, and just as the seventh year, linked in Deuteronomy chapter 31 with the reading of His law, expressed His right to command the obedience of His people, so the 50th year expressed His sovereign possession over all land, people, means of production, and life itself. God is Lord over all. When God brought His people into possession of the land, He gave to them, to each of them, their inheritance. In a given circumstance, a man might be compelled to sell his land in whole or in part, but according to the year of Jubilee, it had to come back to him. You know why? Because it wasn't his land. It was God's land. And by the way, may I just make a little insert here tonight? The battle over the land of Israel is not a human battle. And it's not whether it belongs to the Palestinians or Israel. The truth is, the land belongs to God. Because God lords over the earth. And so the Palestinians trying to take Israel's land and continue to squeeze it is an offense against the Lord who gave that land to Israel. That's an important truth that we need to all understand. The year of Jubilee was to serve as a reminder that the land is special to God, and it is a divine gift to the Israelites. As we start off 2024 together, can I just remind you that the land that maybe God's given you, the house that God's given you, is God's gift to you. Remember, it's not by our hard work, though we should work hard, but everything that we have comes from the Lord. And because it comes from the Lord, it belongs to the Lord. And it's important that we remind ourselves in this passage of Scripture, the practical lessons is for us to never understand ourselves as owners. We own nothing. God owns everything. We are stewards of what God gives us to own. Look at Leviticus 25, verse 23. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is what? It's mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption of the land. That is that God says, because I have redeemed you and you're with me, you should grant a redemption of the land here. You're strangers. May I remind you tonight, there's a biblical application in the New Testament that we are strangers and pilgrims passing through this land. I'm glad I live in America tonight. I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for the freedoms. I'm very thankful for the beautiful area of the country that God allows me to enjoy. But we ought to be reminded, as God was reminding Israel in the year of Jubilee, hey, remember, I'm Lord, and you're strangers, and you're pilgrims, or you're sojourners. This is not your permanent dwelling place. Dear Christian, may all of us be reminded tonight, don't build everything up here thinking that you're going to be here forever, because you're not. We are strangers and pilgrims here. And so, the people of God must acknowledge the lordship of Christ, or the lordship of God, when it comes to land and property and people and life. That's important. It's a reminder as we start the new year, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hey, sometimes we walk into a new year and we want to improve this in our house, and we want to, you know, build up this account, and we want to set these financial goals. Can I ask you to stop and say, Lord, what goals am I setting to build up treasure in heaven this year? For I'm a pilgrim here. I'm a sojourner here. I'm a stranger here. But Lord, someday as a believer, I'll be with you forever in heaven. That's where my treasure ought to be built up. Make sure that we consider that in our goals and our yearly, what we're looking to do. May it bring us back to God owns everything. I'm a steward of what God owns. Notice, go back to that verse in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 24. And in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. When a piece of real estate changes hands, the seller might congratulate himself on the ability to build equity and sell off something. And the buyer might rejoice in the fact that he got a good deal. You know, I've waited and I got a good deal. But in the year of Jubilee, the seller and buyer alike were compelled to confess a different truth. Neither one of them would be master, either of his own welfare or of the person or goods of another. For God is master and redeemer. We see here that if a brother had gotten into a tight spot and sold his property for some unforeseen circumstance, that he would be allowed to redeem it back because it represents his livelihood. The land is life to those who work it. It's life for us today in our community. Those that work the land, it provides not only for their life, but for our lives. For the person who became poor and sold his property and forfeited his livelihood, he was allowed to have a kinsman redeem the land on his behalf. And that is what the Lord is alluding to here in this passage. A good place. Stick with me tonight. Now, if you didn't get your nap, don't take it now. Stick with me, all right? There's rich, rich truth here. A good place to look at understanding the work of a kinsman is in the book of Ruth. In Ruth 4, Ruth's kinsman was Boaz's brother, who was expected to redeem the land of her dead father-in-law, Elimelech. Boaz asked his brother to perform his right as kinsman and buy back the land, but he refused. He declined when he found out that he was supposed to take Ruth as his wife as part of that law of redemption. He didn't want to taint his family name and reputation by taking a Moabite as his wife, for he felt that a Moabite was unworthy to enter his family bloodline. Think about this. Think about the spiritual application tonight. Who could redeem us? Who could buy us back? But one, Jesus. And to buy us back would bring us into his family with whatever baggage we are bringing, which is a lot. And Jesus didn't refuse it. He didn't refuse the purchase price, which was his own life. And he didn't refuse it because of who we were. But he redeemed us. It's important for us to understand how poor and helpless we and hopeless we would be without a redeemer. But we have a redeemer. The second principle of the Jubilee is God's redemption of mankind. Turn back to Leviticus chapter 25, verse number 9. Verse number 9. Not only do we see the principle of God's lordship over all the earth, but we also see God's redemption of mankind. Verse number 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in what? In the Day of Atonement. Shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. When was this going to happen? It was going to happen the 10th day of the 7th month, specifically on the Day of Atonement. You say, well, preacher, what is that Day of Atonement? Turn back to Leviticus 16 and verse number 30. The trumpet, the Jubilee, was to be sounded on the Day of Atonement. That was the day on which the Lord proclaimed His people clean before Him, from all their sins. Look at Leviticus 16, verse number 30. For on that day shall the priest make atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. The forgiveness of sins ushered in the Jubilee year. For God was redeeming His people and He was making them clean. What a beautiful picture of the Day of Atonement in the New Testament. That day of Calvary. That day that Christ died and was the priest that offered the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of His life for us and redeemed us. Turn to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Look at verse number 6 with me. Exodus chapter 6, verse number 6. Wherefore, saying to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And of course, God did that. In Leviticus 25, verse 42, it says, For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen, for they are mine. Now watch this. God lays all of that, we could say, theological foundation, helping us to understand the Lord is sovereign over all. He's Lord over all. Helping us understand He redeems mankind to bring about how we ought to treat one another. That's what we find in Leviticus chapter 25. We find that this year of Jubilee encourages a number of things. Number one, it encourages brotherly generosity. Look at verses 35 through 38. In this context of the year of Jubilee, because God bought, because God redeemed His people, because He brought them out of Egypt, because He protected them and they're His people, now He gives the people instruction on how to treat each other here in the year of Jubilee. Verse number 35, If thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase. In other words, don't charge him interest if you have to lend to him. But fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. Can you not see my goodness towards you? Can you not see that I've done everything for you? Can you at least treat a brother with generosity? Can you at least see a poor brother? Number two, not only was brotherly generosity encouraged, but freedom is granted. Look at verse number 39. Verse number 39. If thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as an hired servant and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family and unto the possession of his fathers. In other words, hey, there's a time where somebody has to work for somebody else, but it shouldn't be for life. Don't make him a bondservant. And in the year of Jubilee, he says, For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Or in other words, they ultimately belong to me. And because they belong to me, it's important that you're careful how you treat them. And brethren, that's an eternal principle. Everybody belongs to God in the sense that He's the creator. And because of that, we ought to be careful how we treat all of mankind. And certainly he was teaching that. He was also teaching that perpetual slavery was forbidden. But all of it was, for they are my servants, which I brought forth. This is the motivation. The third principle of the Jubilee is God's provision of rest. God's provision of rest. While we do not operate under the Old Testament year of Jubilee, we should live under the principle of one day of rest in seven. Because God put that down by the way that He operated in creation. And He didn't do it because He needed to rest, like God wasn't worn out from creation. He did it to set a pattern for mankind. Work 6 days, take one day off. The Lord frees His people not for unbroken idleness. But when you study the Sabbath in the Old Testament, it was a reflection of life toward God. Your day of rest, whatever that is, ought not to be scheduled from dawn or dusk, dawn to dusk. It ought to be set apart to the Lord to reflect on His blessings in your life, to reflect on what He's allowed you to bring in to your home. Here, the Jubilee was God's provision of rest. The Jubilee year was thus a deliberate opting out of the rat race that God instructed. It called a halt to it. It abandoned concern over the pressure to stay alive. The year of Jubilee reordered priorities. It gave a chance to appraise and evaluate the use of time and where my life is going. Brethren, we are living in a rat race. And every person here, it would do good for you to take a day of rest. And slow life down a little bit. And spend some time with the Lord. And not function on adrenaline all of the time. Now, God had it for a whole year here in the 50th year of Jubilee. But God had it in a week for a Sabbath of rest. And so, for the whole year, the people of God could stand back, rest, cease from the good, in order to attain the best. That's a great thought. When we take a day of rest, we cease from the good. Work is good. Work is profitable, isn't it? Work, we're made to work. We were made to work before the fall. So in God's economy of things, work's a good thing. But that's good. But the best is fellowship with the Lord. The best is a mind that's on the Lord. And so it's good for us to have those times where we slow down. Sometimes that happens through sickness. At least it does for me. Sometimes my life gets running too much. And God slows me down. You know what He wants? He just wants some time with me. He just wants me to appraise the use of my time and evaluate life and evaluate where all the hours are going and take time to thank Him for health when I do have it. And so the third principle in the Jubilee is God's provision of rest, and He's given that to us. The fourth principle of the Jubilee is the faithfulness of God. Look at verse 21 of Leviticus 25. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. The 50th year was a living testimony to His faithfulness. The last season of sowing and reaping would have been the 49th year. In the final seventh year in the series, the people would live off the casual growth, and the 50th year nothing but the sheer attentive faithfulness of their God could provide for them. Wow. What a beautiful picture. The fifth principle of Jubilee is the obedience of God's children. In Leviticus chapter 26. Go to Leviticus chapter 26. God's interested in this obedience. In this particular setting, He was interested in the obedience to the Sabbath. And when they didn't obey God in that realm, and you know, maybe they thought like some of us do, you know, God, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. And now the Sabbath thing, I mean, is that really a big deal to you? It was a big deal. Everything that God takes time to write down that we should obey Him in is a big deal. There's no bigger ones and lesser notes in the Scripture that, you know, I know He wants to obey me. He really wants me to obey in this area, but in this area I don't think He cares as much. No. No, look at Leviticus chapter 26. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. God was seeming to tell Israel that you'll get from the land what you need to get from the land if you obey me and let the land rest. And if you don't let the land rest, The land won't produce what it should produce because you've disobeyed me. And you study your Old Testament in the area of the Sabbath. It was a very, very... God judged them for not keeping the Sabbath in that day. Then the sixth principle of the Jubilee is the inheritance of God's people. Turn to Luke chapter 4. In a real way, the Jubilee year foreshadowed what would be the eternal inheritance and bliss of the people of God. The Jubilee was a prolonged foretaste of the coming day when promises would be fulfilled and the blood of the covenant would be totally efficacious. It would totally provide and forgive and cleanse man's sin. Now we're in Luke chapter 4, and we're with Jesus in the synagogue. Verse number 16. And he came to Nazareth when he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue of the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is Isaiah 61, by the way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus read out of Isaiah here. He read to that phrase right there, verse number 19. And then he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and he sat down. And the Bible says all of the eyes, I'm not reading it verbatim, but and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. A typical synagogue service opened with an invocation for God's blessing, then the recitation of the traditional Hebrew confession of faith in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 11. After that, there was a brief sermon given by one of the men of the congregation, perhaps a visiting rabbi. If a priest was present, the service closed with a benediction. Otherwise, one of the laymen prayed and the meeting was dismissed. But in this service, Jesus stood up and read, and he sat down. The crowd probably was familiar with Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus is reading out of Isaiah chapter number 61. And he gets to the verse 2, the last part of verse 2, and he says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the next phrase is, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And they're sitting and they're listening to Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord, and in their minds maybe the day of the vengeance has come, but he doesn't read that part. He reads to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and sits down. You see, the acceptable year is a reference here to the year of Jubilee in Leviticus chapter 25. When the trumpet was blown and through the whole land proclamation was made of the liberty of Hebrew slaves and the forgiveness of debts and the restoration of possessions to their original families. Jesus was not talking about the year of the Jubilee in an economical or cultural state in Luke 4. What he was saying is this: I am your year of Jubilee, and I am here. The acceptable year of the Lord is here. The day of atonement, so to speak, my life, I'm living my life on this earth to make atonement for you so that your sins could be and debts could be forgiven, so that liberty could be proclaimed to captives, so that your life could be restored spiritually. And Jesus ends not with the day of vengeance is come, but the acceptable year of the Lord is come. And my friend, as we gather around the table tonight, thank God for the acceptable year of the Lord. Thank God for the day of atonement that happened once for all in Jesus Christ. Thank God today that we if you're a believer tonight, we're redeemed. He's the kinsman redeemer. He didn't run from it like we read about in the book of Ruth. And Boaz eventually became that kinsman redeemer, didn't he? He paid the price for the land. He took Ruth into his family. He married Ruth. And I'm so thankful today that Jesus one day took you and me into his family because of the blood of the cross. The main purpose of Jesus speaking this was to open the Jews' eyes to the fact that he was the one that would liberate them. He would establish the law of liberty, and he would forgive sins. He would cancel the Adamic sin payment that we all face in hell. He would forgive our debts to give us a home in heaven. He would bring good news to bankrupt sinners and heal brokenhearted and rejected people by others. You see, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and He's not your Redeemer, then you will not receive a home in heaven in the final Jubilee. Because there's coming another Jubilee when the trumpet is sounded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and that remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And my friend, that Jubilee will be like none else. But you can't go in that Jubilee. When the trumpet sounds, you'll be here unless you believe on the kinsman redeemer. And then you too will be welcomed into the city of God. You see, the Bible is a diverse book. But when we look at the Bible connects beautifully. The Old Testament with the New, always pointing to who? To Christ. And a beautiful picture as we prepare for the Lord's table tonight of the year of Jubilee, and then Christ referring to that in Luke chapter 4. Go back to Luke chapter 4. Because we see in Luke chapter 4 that he spoke these words and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. You see, Jesus knew that there would be a group of people that even though he was the year of Jubilee, even though he was the one to come to liberate captives and to forgive people of their sin debt, there would be some that would not see him as such. In church, it's wonderful for us to sit here and say, boy, year of Jubilee, thank God for it. But you understand all around here and around the world, people don't understand this Jesus. And many don't receive him as such. That's our work. Our work is to broadcast the Jesus of the Bible. I sat down with a man just before Christmas, began to talk about God. He said, I know who God is. I believe God exists. He said, but Jesus, I don't have any idea who Jesus is. That's in America. I don't have any idea who this Jesus is. Can you tell me about this Jesus? Of course, we got to talk to him about Jesus. He ended up receiving the Lord. But there are more of those people out there. May God help us not to just be thankful, but to be motivated to get that Jesus out to this world. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed tonight. Year of Jubilee. See, preacher, what does the year of Jubilee remind us of? It reminds us of the fact, the principle, that God's lordship is over the whole earth. That ought to bring you back to this square tonight. I'm a steward. Lord, I'm starting a new year. I'm a steward of time. I'm a steward of money, resources. God, I'm a steward of what you've given to me. In property and houses. And Lord, I'm a steward of children. Lord, I'm a steward of my wife, my husband. Lord, I'm a steward, your Lord, your overall. And maybe tonight in this invitation, you just want to come and kneel before the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, thank you for reminding me I'm a steward. God, I want to manage like you would want me to manage. Help me to be a faithful steward this year. First principle is His Lordship. Second principle is His redemption of mankind. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You're outside of God's family. But tonight you see the picture. The picture is that God wants to purchase you from the slave market of sin and put you in His family. What a wonderful thing. Regardless of your background, regardless of where you've come, what you've done in life, God wants to redeem you. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to be redeemed. You need to put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the principle of redemption. And with that, because God redeemed us and He took us as His own, how we treat one another is vital to the Lord. Because each person is God's creation. And God communicates that to us in Leviticus 25. I wonder this year if you might be challenged to treat your children in a more kind way, brethren, or the poor, as Jesus taught us here. Maybe you need to forgive somebody else's debt, something they've done against you. You see, the practical outflowing of this truth is that we ought to treat one another right. The third principle is the Jubilee is God's provision of rest. Maybe you don't live by that principle in your life. Maybe you're used to running 7 days a week, 7 nights a week. And yet, God instructs that principle by His own example. Maybe 2024 for you needs to be application to that principle. To lay aside the good, to enjoy the better. To enjoy a day with the Lord. To focus on His blessings. To take time in His Word. The principle of rest. The fourth principle of Jubilee is the faithfulness of God. That He's faithful, that you can take Him at His word, that He can and will provide. Fifth principle is obedience. Are you disobedient in some area of your life tonight before the Lord? You know, if they would follow God's word in that area, God would bless their obedience. That's a Bible principle that's true. If you would follow God, God would bless your obedience. Maybe you've been disobedient in some area. The sixth principle is the inheritance of God's people, that indeed Jesus would come. He would be the year of Jubilee. Just before we enter into our Lord's Supper service, I wonder if you need to use an altar on one of these fronts tonight in talking to the Lord about the truth and the principles from the year of Jubilee. Father, we thank You for, Lord, just these truths that You chose to lay out and that You would give us understanding, Lord, that, Lord, it's not empty truth or unnecessary parts of Scripture. But Lord, there's rich meaning. There's great truth about You, Lord, in these passages. Lord, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. The pianist plays this evening a psalm of invitation. I invite you to come in reference to one of the principles that we taught tonight. And maybe if there's not a principle that jumped off the page at you personally, maybe you've not had time to really, really search your own heart before the Lord's Supper. Would you do that right now? Would you search your heart before the Lord? Lord, is there sin, verbal sin in my life that I've committed that I haven't confessed, Lord? Is there sin, Lord, of not listening to the prompting of Your Spirit this week? Is there sin of grieving the Spirit of God? Lord, is there sin of not taking time with You? Lord, is there sin of, Lord, not having faith in Your Word, not obeying a principle? Lord, is there sin in my life in the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life? And if as you're going through before the Lord and questioning God and God brings something to your mind, that is cause for you to stop. That is cause for you to confess sin before the Lord, so that you can enter this time of partaking of the table as a clean vessel before the Lord. Would you just take a moment before the Lord and ask God some questions and allow the Spirit of God to answer those questions as it relates to anything in your life that is not right between you and God? Take your songbooks and turn to hymn number 500. Hymn number 500. As we sing just the first verse, I'll ask our deacons to come forward, prepare for the distribution of the elements for the Lord's Supper tonight. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. All my days and all my hours. Appropriate song that reminds us our lives are about Christ. I want to remind you about some things about the Lord's table. Sometimes, if you're in a church that believes that this is a means of grace, sometimes people partake of the Lord's table and they feel it will balance out their sins. And they feel like they're doing something good that God looks down upon and that it pleases God. We are not taking the Lord's table to balance out sin tonight. We're taking the Lord's table to do it in remembrance of the Lord from a clean heart in obedience to Him. If you are living disobediently tonight and you are not willing to get right with God, then I ask you not to partake of the Lord's table. If you're not saved tonight, then I ask you not to partake of the Lord's table. This is for believers who, as far as they know, they are in a right relationship with the Lord, and they want to, with their hearts, worship the Lord tonight. That's very important that we understand. We also need to understand that the elements of the juice and the bread do not become the body of the Lord again. We are not re-crucifying Christ tonight, as the Catholic doctrine would teach of transubstantiation. Jesus died once for all. These elements are symbolic of His blood, the juice representing His blood. And by the way, it's grape juice, it's not wine, because wine is fermented, it's corrupted. And the blood of Jesus Christ is without taint, any taint whatsoever. And so we partake of the juice tonight, and we partake of unleavened bread representing the body of the Lord. Parents, let me encourage you, as your children are growing up and they're getting saved, to take time to teach these things. So when we come to these services, they're prepped and they have an understanding of what's taking place and what they're doing in partaking of the table this evening. With that in mind, you may be seated tonight. I would like to ask Steve Ebersole to come. Steve's going to read the passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32, the main passage in preparation for us partaking of the table. Steve?
Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let the man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and may sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
I want to thank Brother Daugherty for preparing the elements for us tonight. So, Brother Ralph, would you please pray over this service?
Father, Lord, take these elements, Father,
Amen. Gentlemen, if you take the element of the bread and distribute it to the congregation tonight, again, parents, help us with children that they are able to partake if they're a believer in Christ and in right relationship with the Lord. We would like to sing hymn number 130, hymn number 130 in your songbooks. What we'll do is we'll sing the first and the second verses, and then we want to give you an opportunity to bear witness or to testify of Christ tonight and what He means to you. Maybe you testify of your salvation testimony. Maybe you testify about what He meant to you last year. Maybe there's something that you've meditated on about Him that you would like to share. But we want to draw all attention to our Lord Jesus Christ in this service. Hymn number 130, verses 1 and 2. Together.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of He died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride.
On the second verse, together, forbid
that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood.
Someone with a word of testimony? God's put something in your mind to share with the body tonight. If you're like that, raise your hand, and we'll take a testimony like that. Brother Steve? Amen. Amen. All the hills and valleys of 50 years of being a child of God that Christ has brought him through. Somebody else tonight with a testimony you would like to share something about Christ tonight with the body. Anybody else? We'll give you some time to think. Sing with me verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4 of hymn number 130. Together.
See from His head, His hands, His sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns composed so rich a crown?
On the last and majestic voices now together.
Were the whole realm of nature.
Thank you, Brother Ralph.
Present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
I'm going to ask Jonathan Wright to come read 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 24, dealing with the bread and the body of our Lord.
First Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Brother Jordan, would you pray over the element of the bread?
ordinance here. God, we thank you for
amen. Shall we partake of the bread together, remembering the body that suffered for our sins? Do you like to be remembered for good things that you do? I think of the bodies all over America and the world tonight. And aren't all maybe celebrating the Lord's table, but every time a church does that, Christ knows he's remembered. That's a good thing. That's a blessed thing in the eyes of Christ. Take your songbooks, turn to hymn number 142. Gentlemen, if you'll get the juice ready to pass out. Hymn number 142, Blessed Redeemer. Again, we'll sing a verse and give you an opportunity if something's come to your mind that you would like to share. If not, we'll continue singing these wonderful verses out of hymn number 142, Blessed Redeemer.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing poor sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Somebody with a testimony about the blood of Christ or what Christ means to you. Bridget, go ahead. Amen. Amen. Jesus paid for all the guilt and hopelessness that Bridget faced in her life at one point. Amen. Linda, go ahead. Amen. 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 She stands redeemed. Positionally, she stands redeemed. Andrea? Amen. Offers it to the ones that we love. His free salvation and forgiveness of sin. Sean in the back. Amen. 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 Somebody else tonight? Anybody else? Brother Warren? Amen. Sing with me on the last verse. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend.
Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer. Seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Wonderful, wonderful words. I'm going to ask it, Barry, to come and read the passage on the blood, also the cup representing the blood of Christ.
First Corinthians 11, 25 and 26. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come."
Brother Keith, would you pray over the juice tonight? Shall we partake of the cup together, remembering the blood of Christ? All stains washed away, as one songwriter wrote. Take your hymn books, turn to hymn number 63. Hymn number 63, put your cups in the cup holders in the pews. Our men will collect them afterwards. But we'll finish tonight with hymn number 63, Glory to His Name. Stand with me if you would. Hymn number 63, Glory to His Name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His Name. Glory to His Name. Glory to His Name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His Name.
Glory to Jesus tonight. Amen. Brother Hendricks, you come with our closing announcements and closing prayer. If you do have a need that we can help you with this week, please, please do reach out to us. And don't forget, we have an activity tomorrow night, I believe, at 7 o'clock. Be reminded of that. Be praying for one another this week. Come back next Sunday for Vision Sunday as we cast the vision for the new year. All right? God bless you.
Amen. Don't forget to check your printed announcement sheet. I won't go over all of those, but a number of important announcements in there. Family bowling tomorrow night. The bookstore sale Wednesday night. Okay, check out the things down there. Boys basketball coming up. The couples retreat. Not too late to sign up for that. Your giving reports, and the Pine Car Derby coming up. And so if you have questions on that, we'll say more about that on Wednesday night. But the Pine Car Derby is open to everybody, okay? It's church-wide, and so we call it the Master's Club Pine Car Derby, but it's open to everybody. Don't forget birthday cards for Gina. We need those by the 17th of this month. There's a basket in the foyer, and then you can see the other things in our bulletin. Don't forget, Wednesday night starts Tiny Notes and Children's Choir. So that starts this Wednesday night. All right, are there any other last-minute announcements? Don't forget Bible Assembly for those not going bowling. If you want to take part in Bible Assembly, that is tomorrow night at the normal time in the normal place. Any other last-minute announcements before dismissed? All right. Kenton McCleary, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.